This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This is Catholic Weekend, episode 293 for October 31st. The Vigil of All Saints. Howdy y'all, it's Father Corey. Notice in the introduction I did not say it was for Halloween, but the Vigil of All Saints, because of course that is what we celebrate in the church today, is the preparation for the Feast of All Saints tomorrow. Captain Jeff can't be here again this week, sadly. He is back in California, I believe, preparing for his sister's funeral. So please do keep him and his family in your prayers. Again, I'm not alone, which again is a very good thing. We got Maria's decided to join us again this week. How are you doing, Maria?
Decided to join you. Hey, guys.
I haven't chased you away.
I'm here in my costume. My Angry Birds hat.
Yeah, that's a good easy costume. I'm going as a priest this year, you know.
Scandalous, Father.
And of course, we got Steve Nelson also joining us, as you heard. How's it going, Steve?
Oh, pretty good.
Steve is Frida Kahlo this week.
I am?
For those of us who don't know that, who she is, admittedly, I'm showing my age, perhaps.
She's a Mexican artist that is very famous for a unibrow.
Aha. Yeah, that's showing my lack of culture more than anything else.
Well, I'm right behind you, Father, because I know what she looks like, but I couldn't tell you about any of her paintings.
Yeah. I've probably seen pictures of her, but that's about it. Who knows? Maybe I've seen her. I have no clue.
Time to reboot the episode. Jeff is going to listen to this and go, why wasn't I there?
Oh, he knows very well that it goes like this sometimes, even when he is here. So,
so
how are things going, Steve?
Me? I'm doing well. I wasn't here last weekend because I was at... During this time, I was at the homecoming parade for Oklahoma State University.
Ooh, fun.
The one that, I'm sure maybe you heard about it, the one that had the terrible accident at the end of it.
Forgot about that.
I was, this is a small town and with a big university in it. And the homecoming activities are the biggest thing to happen in this town every year.
Sure.
And so for that to happen... when there's 100,000 extra people in town, it really did rock this community. And we're still dealing with it.
Sure.
And we're still trying to understand what happened and everything. But there were some providential moments within the accident that I don't know if you want me to talk about that, but I can't.
Admittedly, I didn't hear a lot of the details, so please do.
Okay, well, toward the end of the parade, a young woman... and we still don't know exactly why this accident happened, but she drove her car at high speed into the parade crowd, the people that were watching. And there were four people killed and altogether about 50 people that were injured. And, you know, it's really, we still, you know, everybody's still trying to figure out how to deal with it, but there were some interesting things. I was at the parade, but I was about, 10 minutes further up the street from where they were for the accident. The accident happened right at the end of the parade.
Okay.
And I was about 10 minutes up the road. So I had just seen the end of the parade and was going back to my car when people started texting me saying, oh my gosh, there's been this terrible accident. Is it, you know, are you okay? Everybody was trying to contact everybody because right there at the end of the parade, they estimate there were about 8,000 people around this intersection.
Wow.
Because that's where parents were picking up their kids, where the school buses were for all of the student groups and things like that. So in that sense that, you know, it could have been a whole lot more injuries. But also at the end of the parade is when the National Guard units came by, and then followed by the police and fire units. And so right when this accident happened, there were already all of these first responders there.
Wow.
Some of these people in the National Guard had just started their training, but they leapt right into action and they started helping, and the police and the fire and the ambulances and everything were right there when this happened. And so it's, in a way, it's kind of providential in that sense. And, you know, the whole town, there was already a lot of extra police and fire in town anyway because of the homecoming and the number of people.
Sure.
And so in a sense like that, it was, you know, there were some miraculous things that happened. Like, there was a father that was seriously injured because he was protecting another child that happened to be standing next to him. And when he saw a car coming, he grabbed this child he didn't know and used his body to protect him.
Wow.
And things like that. So, you know, it's only been a week now, and you know, the town is pulling together, and it's we're a tight knit community, and the university community, the alumni and everything are pretty tight knit too. And I even got a call from my godson in Ireland, calling to see, because he'd heard about it, and he got permission. Wow. He's a novice monk in Ireland, and he called. He got permission from his prior to call me and find out if I was doing okay.
Wow, yeah, well, it broke pretty quickly. Actually, it happened really early in the day, didn't it?
It happened about 10:30 local time.
Yeah, yeah.
The parade ran from 9 to 10:30-ish, and so it was right at the end. Yeah. So, sorry to start off with a kind of a downer story, but yeah.
That was news in the week.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I was pretty much out of the loop this weekend, so I didn't hear about it. Prayers for all those affected by, especially those killed.
Yeah, there's still, last I heard, there's still about 10 people in the hospital, and one that is still extremely critical, so they're not sure if this person will make it or not. But, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's hard when something like that happens, and especially in a small town. You know, people are so close-knit, and then you have something like that happen.
My mom was a 2-year-old boy, you know. That's really hard for people to handle.
And it's always too, when there's no rhyme or reason why, you know, did she hit the wrong pedal? She was trying to hit the brakes, hit the gas instead. Did she pass out? You know, whatever it was, you know.
Well, I mean, the really troubling part is they think she has suffered from some mental issues, and they think the latest is speculation is that she was trying to commit suicide.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I mean, it's all way too early. Nobody knows anything.
Well, that's the worst part of the news cycle, that they always have to have the latest news. They always have to speculate, and they always have to try to guess and figure things out. And it just causes a lot more pain than good sometimes.
Right.
So, well, like I said, prayers for all those involved. And I hopefully your community can get past this and celebrate again.
We're tough people. We deal with tragedies every year of some kind or another, you know, tornadoes and things like that, fires. So it's, I don't know, they know how to pull together and support each other.
And you live in Oklahoma. If that doesn't make you tough, I don't know what else would. Said the guy from Montana. So
yeah. Yeah, well, this used to be no man's land. This used to be the place that, you know, nobody wanted to live, and so they would, you know, they'd force people to come to live here, like the Native American tribes and stuff
exactly.
Like that. And so, yeah, the people that are here are kind of like Australians, you know, we survived and we're tough and we're not about to leave now.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you wrestle alligators?
No, but people here go noodling, which is about the same thing.
Oh, my gosh, no. Yeah. Have you gone noodling?
No, I'm not about to do that.
Why not? I think you should.
No.
I think you want to.
He likes to keep his fingers.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, if any of you don't know what noodling is, all right, this is the most insane thing. So people will walk along lake shores and riverbeds and things like that, and they'll stick their arms in holes underneath the water and try to grab catfish that are back up under these holes. And some of these catfish are like, yeah, I don't know. I've seen some that are huge. They're like 6 feet long, you know, and they got mouths that are about 2 feet across. And I'm not about to do that. I don't know what's up under those holes. I mean, I have this vision in my head that I, you know, pull out a snake or something.
Yeah. It happens. Yeah,
my luck would be. But don't you use your fingers to get the attention, and then you make a fist while they bite you, and you pull out.
You know more about this apparently than I did.
Yeah.
I you know what? I watch all of those Discovery Channel shows.
The unreality TV shows.
Oh my gosh! Yesterday they were doing a marathon on the pumpkin chunk.
Oh, that's fun to watch.
Oh, really?
So John and I were, so we were like having popcorn and watching the reruns in anticipation of today's championship. And so that's what we'll be doing later, really? Watching the pumpkin chunk. Yeah, it's fun.
I saw one of those a few years ago, and I've had this desire to build a trebuchet ever since then.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't that look like fun?
It's so cool. Well, they have these big industrial machines where they, you know, they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. Let me tell you that if John spent $100,000 on some kind of weird machine to chunk a pumpkin, he would be in the doghouse. I'd chunk him because I keep asking him. I said, "Are these machines? Are they sponsored by people?" And he's like, "No, I think that they're just hobbyists." And I'm like, $100,000 hobbyist to throw a pumpkin across the field? I don't think so. But
I think at first they were hobbyists, but it's like everything else. Now they're being sponsored.
Yeah, I bet they are. But there's a category that is for human energy. So whatever the machine is, it has to be operated.
Like, you know, a bicycle or a treadmill or something.
So they had this guy who built a giant gerbil cage.
Nice.
I love those kinds of things. So I was, of course, immediately intrigued and sat down for 2 minutes and stayed for 2 hours.
Exactly.
Oh, now I want to do something like that.
Yeah, it just sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
My son had to do one. They had to do a pumpkin drop for a test grade when he took physics. And they brought a cherry picker to the school, and they went up, I think, two stories or three stories to drop the pumpkin from the top. And my son, I guess, figured that he had a good enough grade that he could blow the test. So he got a rotten pumpkin.
Ooh. Yuck.
With the intent of having it go splat. So he designed as the shock absorber water balloons filled with Jell-O. It was disgusting. I think it's on YouTube.
Yeah, what surprised me?
I'm pretty sure that it's on YouTube. guess who put it there? Maybe his mama.
That's funny. That's funny.
You couldn't have been too scandalized by it.
Not if I was filming it. Not if I knew it was a, you know, what can I say? It was fun.
So, Maria, what have you been doing?
Other than watching pumpkin chunking.
I went to the St. Maria Goretti Pilgrimage of Mercy that came through Atlanta earlier in the week. They came to two churches in Atlanta, Holy Spirit and St. Monica. So I went to Holy Spirit on Monday. Oh, my goodness. It was quite moving. It was quite moving to have an opportunity to you know, sit in the church and venerate this amazing saint and to be in community with people who were all there, just amazed by her story. Part of the exhibit, if you haven't had a chance to see it and it's still coming your way, I encourage you guys to do it. It just brought to light to me how tiny she was. She was a little girl. She was only 11 when she was murdered. And so it's just an amazing story of forgiveness. So for those of you who aren't familiar with her story, Maria was a child. She was just 11 years old, and her father had died when she was 9. And so her mother had taken their large family to live in a house, in a very large house that they were sharing with another family. And, you know, she was doing her chores, and they all had, their livelihood, right, to take care of. Mm-hmm. And she was taking care of a younger sibling. And there was an older boy, a young man, actually, in the family, Alessandro, who had been harassing her over time. And making very unpleasant overtures to her. And she was always putting him off. And this day, his intent was to rape her. And he was, I think, some people say he was 18, but I think he was 20. He was still just barely a minor in those days. And so when he attacked her, she fended him off. And what's beautiful here in the story is that she was, you know, obviously she didn't want to be violated, but she was also, you know, telling him, God doesn't want this for you. You know, God doesn't want this. And so he didn't execute what he had intended to do, but chased after her with a sharp object, maybe a knife, maybe an awl, some people have said, and stabbed her over a dozen times. And left her there bleeding, and he ran off. And I think the story says that the police got him to jail before she made it to the hospital, because her mother and his father found her lying in a pool of her own blood. And so she lived overnight while they were caring for her, but she died the next day, but not before she forgave him. So she forgave Alessandro. And he, of course, went to jail and was sentenced to 30 years in jail. And was very angry, very, very angry for many years. And then he had a vision of Maria, who came to him. And he had this amazing transformation over the course of the next couple of decades of his term. And when he came out, he sought her mother and asked her for forgiveness. And as the story goes, she forgave him, which I think is heroic. As a mother, I don't know how I would respond to something like that. But she said, Assunta was her mother's name, and she told him, she says, you know, I can't deny you. Maria gave you, which was forgiveness. So she forgave him. And I think they were both present at her canonization. I know that they were both present at her beatification, but I think at her canonization he was present. So he's gone on, you know. I think he became a monk and lived out the rest of his life that way. So it's an amazing story. So this the relics, her body is encased in a statue. So she's not incorrupt, as some people think. It's a statue that's in the casket, but certainly her remains are there. And it was just amazing to pray before her, this little girl who had, my goodness, a heart bigger than anything I know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's an amazing story. Yeah. So listen, if you guys are listening to this, I don't know if we have a big live audience, but on November 2nd, which is Monday, I tell this story and I link to some pictures and I link to their website. If you go leave me a comment, I'll send you the holy cards that I received there, which were touched to her. So they're third class relics.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. It's really cool. It's a good story. So it was just amazing to go, really perfect. As we enter the year of mercy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, her example is definitely one of mercy, you know. And I'd once heard it said that she didn't die so much. You know, she's held up as a martyr for chastity, but more her example is being concerned about the soul of the other, the soul of her attacker.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's really what touched me, because they have a film that they show, and plus there's plenty of reading materials, and if you go to the website. And we'll leave that in the show notes. If you go to the websites for the Pilgrimage of Mercy, I think it's called, there's a whole section on forgiveness and how to forgive. And it talks about how forgiveness is an act of will, not a feeling. So you can forgive and still feel
other
things. It's neat.
That's awesome.
Well, I think I mentioned that her relics are going to be coming to Tulsa in a few weeks. Well, actually, I think it's in December.
Nice. But,
so, Father, I did have a question for you, though.
Mm-hmm.
What is the proper way to... I just forgot the word.
Venerate? Is that
venerate.
What you're
saying? Venerate?
Relics, yes.
However you feel inclined. I know some people will just merely touch the case, you know, and say a prayer. Some people won't even touch. They just, you know, they'll just stand there, you know, hands folded in prayer or whatever. Some people kiss the case, you know, kiss their hand, touch the case, you know. It's whatever you feel called to do. I mean, yeah, I mean, I know, like I said, a lot of people, kiss is usually involved. You know, like if it's a smaller relic, you know, like the little cases, you can just, you know, pick it up and kiss it or whatever. Just some act of veneration and love for that saint. I mean, that's really...
I've seen people bow before relics, but I've also seen some people genuflect, but genuflect always kind of seemed like maybe that wasn't the...
No, genuflection is not appropriate because we reserve that for our Lord. You know, we genuflect before our Lord in the tabernacle. Now, it's different if, you know, someone's going down on a knee, for example, in front of them, you know. See, that's the tough part, you know. If someone goes down just because it's easier for them to kind of kneel down on one knee, it is a genuflection, but it's not meant as a genuflection as in venerating our Lord.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of tough to separate. And I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming they're not doing it out of a desire to genuflect before them like they genuflect before our Lord. Of course, how many Catholics understand the importance of the genuflection too, though?
Yeah, I think it was probably more out of habit, you know?
Yeah, kind of like being in the...
Well, and, you know, it when I was there Monday, I saw all of the above. I knelt and I put my hand on the casket because the holy cards had some prayers on them on the back, so it was kind of easy.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of an easy move to do, to just go and kneel at the casket and say the prayer. And then I went and I sat for a while and continued to pray and reflect on, you know, on what I had read and on her life and such. But there were people who, I did see some people kiss the casket, now that you say that. But most people just knelt in prayer. I think most people did what I did, which was read the prayer that was on the back of the of the holy card. But it was set up in front of the altar, so there were lots of... I genuflected when I came in, but to our Lord, not to not to Saint Maria. But it's a good question.
I've always wanted to ask that question because, you know, you encounter relics sometimes unexpectedly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like it'll be on a wall in the church or something like that. You know, it's like, oh, what am I supposed to do here?
I mean, you don't have to do anything, honestly. You don't have to venerate the saint. I mean, the saint's not going to care. Oh, gee, that's Steve Nelson. Well, I'm not going to intercede for him.
No intercession for you.
Yeah, it's kind of fun that trying to figure out the etiquette sometimes for things that you're not comfortable with or familiar with in the church because you haven't seen it in a while. Or yeah, it's kind of interesting to watch people. Or they're kind of like, okay, what do we do? You see them looking around. What are other people doing?
Yeah.
You look for somebody that's dressed formally. I think that the people who accompany the entourage were dressed in something, in capes or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Could they have been Knights of Columbus?
Yeah, but what's the women's auxiliary called? The knights. I think that because they also wear a dark. I think that they wear a black cape. Gosh, talk about.
Oh, there's aren't
we,
there
we
the
more the ignorance of, on this show than we do.
Malta?
No, they weren't Knights of Malta.
Or the knights in late. Okay, because I know they were like a black.
Ladies, yeah, but yes, with a white cross, right, or a red cross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if only we had access to Google real quick to see what the ladies... I think that you're right. I think it's the ladies' auxiliary.
Once again, we're proving we're not the experts on all things.
And I'm sure somebody out there right now is going, "You fools."
10% a little catechesis.
Send us emails. Send us some feedback and tell us where we've gone wrong.
Send us some feedback. Tell us, correct us on this episode. There we go. Oh, my gosh.
Get out of the way.
Yeah, but you know what's neat is that when they go there, Steve, so maybe you could go and be a volunteer. They actually are traveling. I have pictures. I don't think I posted them of the van that is traveling. You know, with the materials that they have, because they're giving out these holy cards and other things. And of course, you know, the saints, the relic has to be handled as well. And so it's on a big van. And one of my daughters happens to work at that church. So she called me and she says, "Listen, we're expecting huge crowds today. So I think this is going to be the best time when we don't have, some high schools scheduled," because they were taking some of the Catholic schools were taking field trips to the church. So I went in the middle of the day when I knew there wouldn't be a huge crowd. And so we were chatting afterwards as I was getting ready to leave, and she'd walked me out to the car and she said, "You know, that Monsignor blessed her hands that morning, all of the people who were going to be working there."
Oh, wow.
And she said that
awesome.
She had never felt so so moved to be, you know, participating in what she, I mean, she works in ministry, but that to have her hands blessed in preparation. And I said, "Wow, that's awesome." And she says, "Yeah, we were carrying, you know, her." We had to carry the casket and put it in position, because the expectation is that there are volunteers ready to work, because these people can't be doing this all the time. It's really a small group that's traveling.
Sure.
So,
I just looked at the list, and it's going to be like in a week.
Whoa.
Oh, it's next week that they're there.
Let's see. It's going to be in Tulsa on November 10th, 11th.
Yeah, that's 13th. Yeah, a little over a week and a half.
Yeah, I better figure this out.
Surprise!
What do you mean I missed it? Oh.
Let's see.
It was last week.
Cathedral on November 10th. Okay, got it.
Got it. Yeah. Come back and report.
Putting it on my calendar.
Yeah, there you go. Nice. Yeah, I'm waiting till they'll do it. Nice. They did post on there that they're planning a West Coast tour, so hopefully they'll come somewhere close to here.
Oh, wow.
That reminds me, I need to send a letter or email the bishop, say, "Hey, you might want to make sure that our diocese has a visit somewhere, anywhere. It doesn't matter, just get her to our diocese."
Oh, this is going to work out nicely. Sorry.
Oh, there you go.
Visiting with the saints.
Yeah. It's right before I get on a plane to go to Cincinnati. So, yeah.
Ooh, cool. That works.
Yeah, okay. Cool. See, I like it. All right. I got a plan now. I'm glad we talked about this.
That could be your next book there, Maria, Visiting with the Saints.
Visiting with the Saints. Hanging with the Saints.
Well, I've got drinking. There's Drinking with the Saints, so we could have Visiting with the
there
Saints.
There is. Drinking with the Saints, Visiting with the Saints. Ooh. You know that I love my publisher. You know those Facebook quizzes? Mm-hmm. Which superhero are you?
Mm-hmm.
They came out with which badass saint are you?
Nice.
Oh, I've been having so much fun with that. As people have been taking it and letting me know, it's a hoot.
That's awesome.
It's limited, though. I think it's about limited. It's only the saints that are in the book and the women too. But
sure.
So John says, so I post it and I take it, and I got Saint Rita of Cassia, whom I love. I think that her story is so fantastic. Speaking of forgiveness and the year of mercy.
Sure.
A lot of people know her as the patron saint of lost causes, probably number two to Saint Jude, right? But she is the patron saint of lost causes. But her story is really cool because her husband was a jerk and an abusive fellow, and was murdered in a feud in a very much what is the McCoys, the Hatfields and McCoys,
a feud
kind of situation, a feud in the town, and she was terrified that her sons would get involved in some kind of vengeance action, and she prayed. She prayed for their deliverance, and unfortunately, their deliverance was a death of a different kind. They got ill and died, but it did deliver them from, which was to go and get revenge for their father's death. So she went before, I forgot which order of nuns she went before to join the convent, and they told her, well, you know, you're going to have to go do this first. We would like for you to just bring peace to this community over this feud. And she did. She did. It was really an amazing execution of love and mercy and forgiveness. So that's the saint that I got. I thought it was pretty cool. So John took it. John took the test. So I said to him, are you going to do it? And he goes, it's women. And just like that, he goes, it's women. And I went, oh. And then he started to laugh, and he goes, no, I take all the superheroine tests too. So he went and took it, and he got Sister Blandina Segal, who was the one who faced down Billy the Kid.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's pretty funny.
Rather fitting.
I think so. Facing me down.
Have you been to Cascia in Italy?
No, gosh, I would love to go. Have you
been? I tell
you,
it's, I've been there a couple of times.
You've been there?
Yeah.
Wow. When we took,
but I tell you, it's at the top of this, it's like a medieval town at the top of this mountain, this hill.
Nice.
You
know?
Uh-huh. And now they have, because they get so many tour groups, you can take like escalators to get up and things like that. But I would highly suggest that you walk up.
Oh.
Because when you get there, you're so much more appreciative. It's a beautiful, you know, medieval town, you know.
Gorgeous.
That's funny.
Wait a minute. So then you take the escalator down. Isn't that a little backwards?
No, I walked up and down. Mostly because I sort of challenged the students. You know, they were tired, and they were like, we're going to take escalators down. It's like, I don't know about you. I'm going to walk down. And they were just like, we can't let him do
it. Okay, well, look, you've walked Camino twice in your life, right?
Once. I'm going to do it again, though. I'm going to do it again.
Nice.
It's amazing.
I'd love to do that, too. I've never been able to do the Camino either. I'd love to do it. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's on my bucket list for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I have a better idea what I'm getting myself into. So.
That's good.
No! So, do you recommend that you go in not knowing?
It all depends on how well you do with sort of deprivation and, you know.
Oh wow!
Sort of
just
the
whole beginning is not encouraging.
Well, I mean, you're staying in hostels, you're sleeping in rooms with, you know, could be 5 or 100 other people, you know, the communal showers, the poor food or the constant looking for food because you're hungry all the time, and just what it does to your body and everything. I would recommend it, but if you're not a person that can take that kind of, you know, deprivation very well, then I don't know if you'll actually, I don't know, get out of it what you hope to get out of it. I don't know. I'm not trying to discourage you, but
no.
It's a challenge, and it's a purgation, and it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's supposed to be a dying to yourself. That's one of the purposes of it.
Yeah. Number one recommendation is pay the extra money to get good boots. Don't go to Walmart and get the cheap boots.
No. Oh, no.
I didn't do that, but I saw people out there that, you know, were just like, I don't know why. I don't think how you're ever going to make it, because their feet would be all blistered and
things
like that, you know?
Oh. Yeah.
So, but spend the money, get the good boots.
Any of those kind of walking trips like that where you're long, you know, you're on your feet for hours a day, get the good stuff.
Yeah.
Get stuff that's comfortable. It might not be fashionable, but it will be comfortable, and you will survive.
Yeah, and allow extra time.
I think I would have to start walking in preparation. I'd follow my footsteps. You know, the steps that you take every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I never make it to my 8,000 that I have as my goal. Sure.
Well,
but
I suggest you get up to the point where you're comfortable walking 15 miles in a day.
15 miles.
Yeah. You don't have to do it that much, but if you can get to that point and you're comfortable doing it, it's going to make it a lot easier.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, the other day, the day that midterm grades were due, I walked 180 steps all day.
Mm-hmm.
I literally walked from the house to the car, from the car to my office, from my office to the car. And when I looked at how many steps I had taken, I was like, I think I'm going to die in my sleep today. I don't
know. I've been tempted to get one of those Fitbit kind of thing. I really don't need another thing to obsess over.
Yeah. You know, of course, the worst part is I always have the urge about now to start walking. And then, of course, I look outside, and this is Montana in October going on November. It gets cold. Snow's going to start here next week by the weather forecast.
It's such a beautiful view, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's a lovely thing to accompany you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love getting out when the weather's like, you know, when it's comfortable. But, of course, you know, to start walking now is not a good idea because you're going to have days when it's 30 below, not that far off. Not the time to build a habit. Let's put it that way. I love getting out there, though. I love it when it's brisk like it is right now.
Yeah.
You know, upper 40s, lower 50s. You know it's going to get warmer during the day. Oh, it's beautiful out there.
Oh, that's sweet.
So we talked earlier about a quiz, and our esteemed producer, Lynn, has produced for us an All Hallows Eve edition of a Catholic quiz. So you two up for doing it?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Okay. First, now some of these are true/false, some of these are multiple choice, and some of these are just simple answer, fill in the blank. So, what is All Hallows Eve?
It's the night that you go out and get all kinds of candy.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, it's the day, people go out and get candy, but what is it versus Catholics?
It's the vigil of All Saints Day.
Exactly. It's the preparation for the celebration of the Feast of All Saints. So, you know, if it wasn't on a weekend, you could go to Mass on the vigil night, so on Halloween night, and fulfill your obligation for Mass for the Solemnity of All Saints. What other names is All Hallows Eve known as? A, Halloween, B, All Saints Eve, C, All Halloween, A-L-L Halloween, all of the above, or none of the above?
I vote all of the above.
I vote all of the above.
Yep, isn't that the old test-taking trick? If all of the above just suddenly shows up, that's got to be the answer. Yes. Now, I've never heard all Halloween.
Me neither, but the other two were correct, so it had to be.
Really? Process of elimination.
True or false, one is required to abstain from meat on All Hallows Eve?
Well, I hope that's false, because I don't think I ever have.
if it's the vigil of a feast, you're supposed to feast, so no.
Well, false is the correct answer. It says, and then Lynn wrote, because many Western Christian denominations encourage, although most no longer require, abstinence from meat on All Hallows Eve, the tradition of eating certain vegetarian foods for this vigil day developed, including the consumption of apples, colcannon, cider, potato pancakes, and soul cakes. I've never heard that practice before. It's interesting. I wonder if that's a traditional practice in certain areas. That kind of developed.
European tradition of some kind, but I've never heard that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, like I said, I haven't heard that one.
Well, of course, we don't fast nearly as often as we used to.
Exactly. We should be doing a lot more fasting.
That's true.
I still try to keep the Friday meatless. Doesn't always work, but still try to keep that practice, if nothing else, just to be conscious, and make that little bit of a sacrifice, though eating seafood isn't exactly a sacrifice for me either, so... Of what does All Hallows Eve mark the beginning? A, Christmastide, B, Ultratide, C, Eastertide, D, Ebbtide, E, All Hallowtide.
F, The Age of Ultron.
Exactly.
I have never heard of these. Ebbtide?
Ebbtide is what I would guess, but I...
Ebbtide is like tidal flow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
All Hallowtide. It begins the three-day celebration of All Hallowtide, the time in the liturgical year dedicated to remembering the dead, including saints, hallows, martyrs, and all the faithful departed, especially the recently departed souls who have yet to reach heaven. So it's a three-day celebration, All Hallows Eve, All Saints Day, All Souls Day on November 2nd. I'd never heard it called that. Interesting.
I haven't either.
Yeah,
they call it what? All Hallows?
Something.
What's it called?
All, A-L-L, Hallowtide.
All Hallowtide. Okay.
What Mexican holiday coincides with the three-day period beginning with All Hallows Eve? And my apologies, because my Spanish pronunciation sucks on these, so I'm sorry. La Semana Santa, Cinco de Mayo, Dia de Muertos, Dia de la Virgen de Guadalupe, Carnival. Yeah.
The Day of the Dead, my friend.
Yeah. Dia de Muertos.
Dia de los Muertos.
Dia de los Muertos.
Which still wasn't good, but it was closer than you got, Father.
Yeah. Hey, I said bad pronunciation sucks.
Oh, man.
And I'm just reading what's on here, so.
It wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It wasn't too bad. I was just laughing.
Just remember, I'm a Montana redneck. I didn't even write
that. Oh, man.
I'll blame
Lynn. So you eat little candy skeletons and skulls.
Nice.
It's a very family-oriented celebration.
I think I'm going to one.
Are you?
Tulsa has one, you know, the Hispanic community, and I think I'm going to that.
Well, that'll be a lot of fun, I hope. I hope.
I got my profile picture ready to go for that one.
Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah.
What day was All Saints Day originally celebrated? March 6th, April 5th, May 13th, June 27th, or December 17th?
Huh. March 6th is my birthday. Take that one off.
I have no context in which to put those dates.
December 17th?
December 17th?
Say the dates again. Say the dates again. Advent?
Okay. March 6th, April 5th, May 13th, June 27th, and December 17th.
I'm going to go with the April date.
Okay. Steve, you want to take a guess?
Well, it seemed to me like it'd be more, you know, Lent would be a time for that. I'd say the March date.
Hold on. I'm going to change my mind. Let's go with December 17th.
May 13th.
May 13th? Really? Wow.
May 13th. Because it was a regional, I can't remember exact details, but it was a regional celebration at first. It wasn't a celebration for the whole church, but later moved. And, of course, that leads to the next question. Who switched the date of All Saints Day to November 1st, and what year did it happen? Pope John Paul I in 1978, Pope St. Pius X in 1903, Pope St. Celestine I in 431, Pope Benedict XIII in 1727, or Pope Gregory IV in 835?
Let's go with Gregory.
Steve, you got a guess?
What was the one that was like the 800s?
That was Pope Gregory. Gregory
the
Fourth.
Celestine is the other one.
Celestine. I think that might be too early.
Yeah, that was 431.
What was the one you mentioned before Pope Gregory?
Benedict the 13th in 1820 or 1727.
I'll go with that one.
With Benedict?
Yeah.
It was Gregory, Pope Gregory IV in 835.
I win.
Yep. Oh, so thank you, Lynn, for putting that together. Even the priest learned a few things, so that's always a very good thing.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, this is one of these interesting ones. Of course, All Saints Day is a day of obligation, but this year it doesn't matter because it's on Sunday. So that makes it easier for people. They don't have an extra day they have to go to church.
Mm. Oh, we got to change the clocks tonight anyway, which is always...
Yes, but it's a sleep in. It's an extra hour. We fall back. This is a good thing.
Yeah. What are you going to say to all those people that show up an hour early for Mass?
Ha-ha. Well,
might as well stick around. Don't go home mad.
Yeah. This is good for you. Do a holy hour.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I suppose we should take a break because we're almost coming time to do the picks of the week. So we should talk about ways that you can that our good listeners can support SQPN. Of course, if you want to see this show go off the air, at least when I'm running it, that's a whole other story. But please do. We know many of you who are listening do support SQPN. You help out with your contributions, but there are many ways, and we're very thankful for those of you who do contribute, by the way. It definitely does help to keep everything going at SQPN, keep the website up, keep the shows on the air, and so on. Please do remember that you can shop at Amazon, and if you click the link at the SQPN website, you can give SQPN a small cut of whatever you purchase, of the cost of whatever you purchase. It doesn't cost you anymore. Amazon doesn't charge you anymore. They just send a little thank you to SQPN for sending business their way, and they always appreciate that. Amazon likes to make as much money as they can, and they definitely don't hurt for making money, but they do thank their affiliates like SQPN for sending business their way. So please do click on that link from the SQPN website for Amazon to help out. You can also, if you're looking for web hosting, you can go to Bluehost through the SQPN website and then sign up that way, and it'll help you. Bluehost will again send a little thank you to SQPN for sending them business. So please do keep that in mind. I know we have many people on the panel that use Bluehost, and you guys have been pretty happy with them, haven't you?
Oh yeah, no complaints. They have, I've been able to, anytime I had an issue or wanted to do something, they have the tools right there that have made it easy.
Very good. Very good. And that's always the best thing. I've used hosting providers that aren't as, shall we say, easy to use, very difficult to work with. And it makes it frustrating when you want to do anything with your website or you have problems trying to get a hold of them and trying to get things solved. And so it's nice to hear that Bluehost has good service, good support, good tools and everything. So please do check them out. Again, all that can be found at the SQPN website, sqpn.com. Well, we're down to about the last 15 minutes of the show, so we better go on to our picks of the week. Either you got a pick?
I do. All this talk about books. And Father Roderick's book is out now in Dutch. And I saw a posting earlier that he's going to have it translated into Braille. How cool is that? So nice. In English, it's Geek Priest. And in Dutch, it looks like Media Priester. Nice. So a big shout out for Father Roderick. Good for you. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, great. That's awesome. I know it's quite a few languages actually now. I think
it's really neat that.
It's actually kind of funny that it's taken this long.
Bridges, huh? Yeah.
It's kind of funny it's taken this long to go into his native language.
Isn't that funny? But I think that they were giving him a nice treat. It's good to follow him and see he had a book signing earlier, production for the Dutch version. So that's congratulations, cool. Father Roderick, and y'all can get it in English too.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Well, great book. Father Roderick.
I haven't seen him in person in
memoirs. Yeah.
A while now. Since 2013, I think.
Yeah, he's been busy traveling, busy putting out podcasts.
Yeah.
Well, I have a pick.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of all the things that Bishop Robert Barron does, and the Catholicism series was I don't know how you can top that, but he's got a new one coming out called Pivotal Players, and it's about the key saints and figures that, you know, are important to the church, and I'm sure. really looking forward to that one. So, you know, nice. Check out Word on Fire and now Bishop Robert Barron and Pivotal Players.
Oh yeah, his stuff's always excellent.
Well, it's weird. You know, he makes you feel good while you're watching it. I don't know what it is. It's the way he speaks and the music and the imagery and everything. It's like, even if you don't learn anything, I just enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, because he's talking about some really deep and profound things, but like it just rolls off easy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it puts you at ease to understand it and hear those things. I like him too. Good.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's too bad we don't get any kind of promotions for.
I know.
Promotional considerations for.
little cut. But you can find that book at Amazon.com, and if you click on the link from SQPN.
That's right.
Look for the Word on Fire stuff at Amazon before.
Yeah. All right, excellent. Well, continuing actually with the theme there, of course, then Father, now Bishop Robert Barron taught at Mundelein, and that's actually, I had class with him. Continuing with that theme, my pick of the week is actually something from Mundelein Seminary, actually the Liturgical Institute at Mundelein. The Liturgical Institute was founded by the late Cardinal George probably about 10, 15 years ago at Mundelein Seminary, and it exists to promote, you know, study and proper understanding of the liturgy. And so they just announced, and it's actually starting, the first video will come out tomorrow, a series on elements of the Catholic Mass. And it's a series of videos being done by Father Douglas Martis, who is the director of the Liturgical Institute. He's also the priest who taught me the principles of the liturgy, how to celebrate Mass, and the principles of worship and what we do at Mass. So very, very good speaker, very, very good teacher. Looks like it should be a very well done set of videos. I'm going to kind of do a screen share here of the video itself. You won't be able to hear the audio because I don't have it set up properly for that, but I can at least just let a little bit of the video play here. For those who are watching it on watching the YouTube link or watching it live, I love the video because it shows the beautiful Chapel of the Immaculate Conception at Mundelein Seminary, which is just an absolutely gorgeous chapel right there in the center of campus. So definitely, I think it's going to be a really good series. Like I said, you know, going just talking about what the Mass is about and what we do and why we do it and all the principles behind it. You know, and the priest you see there in the video is Father Martis, the one who will be doing the videos. Hmm. So that's at elementsofthecatholicmass.com. I think it's worth checking out.
That looks beautifully produced.
Yeah, it looks like they're using very professional cameras, professional presenters, everything. So it should be very well done, I think. I think it'll be an excellent series.
Cool.
So, yeah. So, like I said, that's starting tomorrow, and I think they're going to put out new videos every Sunday. Yeah, new episodes every Sunday. So, and then you can sign up for a link to get videos in your email. Get the email link, too. So, check that out.
Maybe this is another good resource for, you know, all of us have Catholics in our family who say, oh, Mass is boring and never get anything out of it. And I think a lot of it, from my experiences, they just don't understand the Mass. Maybe
exactly.
This will help.
Well, that's just it. I think if we understood what was going on and we understand what we're doing and why, I think that's going to help us. Well, it can't hurt us, definitely, but it's definitely going to help us understand the importance of the Mass, why it is so important we go to Mass as often as we can, not just on Sundays, but as often as we can. Oh, I think it'll be a good tool for parishes, too. Yeah, so absolutely.
Excellent.
So, Maria, where can people find you and your badass book?
Follow me at Bago on Twitter. You can like my Facebook page, Maria Marrera Johnson, or you can go to my blog, mariamjohnson.com, and you can follow the links to either buy the book or take the quiz on which saint you are. And also see some of the things I've been writing. I have a couple of things that have come out this week. I'm reviewing True Radiance, which is Lisa Mladenic's book. I think I'm at Catholic Mom this week with my observations, my musings from visiting St. Maria Goretti's relics. So, yeah, I'm kind of in a lot of different places. Nice. Come and visit me.
Nice. How about you there, Steve?
Everything is Esteban.com. That's excellent. Where you go. It's my blog, and mostly it has pictures on it, but I keep trying to figure out what I could write about, but I don't seem to have enough time. I'm barely keeping up with my job, it seems like.
I understand that feeling well.
Yeah.
So,
how about you, Father?
Well, you can find me at my website where I mostly just post my homilies. I should be writing too, but I'm not. FRCorey.org. That's FRCORY.org. Find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I should use Instagram more too, at FRCoreyStika, last name spelled STICHA. And The Secrets of Doctor Who has started up again. Of course, we're in the middle of the ninth season of Doctor Who, of the rebooted Doctor Who. So you can find me at sqpn.com and look up The Secrets of Doctor Who with Jimmy Akin and Dom Bettinelli and, of course, the great Father Roderick. So please do check us out there as well. You can find me at all those good places. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I hope you hope you enjoyed the show. It wasn't too much of a...
And I don't think we came off the rails completely.
Not yet. Got a little close.
We're just a little slow getting out of the station.
Yeah. Hope everyone has a very blessed and happy All Saints Day and a great Catholic weekend. Bye, all.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.